You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot Route!
I don't. What is Hot Route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on!
Ready! Down! Set! Hut! 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 Hut!
Hit me! Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom 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 nom!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew. Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
All right, welcome back. It is the unofficial, it's the Eskridge Lexus postgame podcast. I only do one of these a week.
We can just do this on Wednesday if you want.
No, it's okay. We are here about a little after 1:30 in the morning on Campus Corner. The motorcycle show is going on outside, but... Sooners polish off SMU, not in style, but they win it today, 28-11. It was a little nail biting at times, especially early in the fourth quarter when SMU pulled the touchdown and then got the 2-point conversion. It was an uneven performance offensively. Defensively, it was the exact opposite. It was a fantastic performance, and Danny Stutzman led the way with 17 overall tackles. At least that was the last official. I'm looking at the book right now. 17 official tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and one fumble recovery, which he did a great job on that play. We didn't even talk about that, just keeping his body in bounds and jumping on the ball. So
I know we'll get to it, but it's almost like the better part of that play was Woody Washington realizing that if he jumps onto the ball, he's going to be out of bounds.
Yeah.
So it
shades
yeah,
of
we'll
that
get
Kansas
into that
play
kind of
along the sideline a couple of years ago.
Oh, when they
when the guy came from out of bounds and stripped it, how was that not out of bounds? I still have a question about that.
I still remember looking like through the NCAA rule book, like sitting in this seat, I think.
Well, first off, let's start with a fight. George, I'm sure, wants to pick a fight with me about Tawie Walker. I have a bone to pick with both of you as well.
Oh, this would be good.
So, look, Tawie Walker was the offense tonight. There's no doubt about it. He was the reason that they ended up winning this game. He was the best running back out there. A lot better than Marcus Major. I apologize for getting after you for writing the article. How about that?
I'll take that.
Because that was what the argument was. Everybody's like, you owe Tawie Walker. No, I owe George an apology because I went after him for what I called taking the bait and running with the heartwarming walk-on story.
And look at him now.
He's really good. And
he's
I'm not here to shit on Tawie Walker. That's not what I'm here to do. Not like you guys have done to Jahlil Farouk, who had the most athletic play of the day.
He was great tonight.
And proved he should be a much bigger part of this offense. And I think everybody was like, where is Jahlil Farouk? Why has he disappeared? He must just be a bust. No, he's a great player. And he deserves his flowers first, which I'm giving him. But he deserves to see the ball more. And look, I wasn't really joking when I came after you a little bit on Twitter because you said, I want my apology. And I said, do I have to apologize because the OU game plan was so bad that it made their walk-on running back the best player on this team? Like, it was a bad game plan offensively. And look, I understand SMU was probably doing things to take things away, would defensively take away the deep ball. But, man, I mean, either nobody can get open or the offensive staff doesn't trust the offensive line to block long enough for Dylan Gabriel to step back in the pocket and read the field and make a throw. Like, which one is it?
I there's a few realities, I think, with the offense. Number one, I don't think the offensive line is as good as we thought. I mean, we saw Savion Bird basically get benched for most of the game.
Right.
And they weren't able
to protect. I wish we had snap counts.
I know. I was just looking
at Savion Bird and Troy Everett. Because, I mean, Troy Everett basically played outside of the first two series. I think he probably would have played the entire first half.
Correct. And he played all the way until into the fourth quarter when Savion came back in for those two drives that they scored. So I think that's one thing. The offensive line was not great. You know, it felt like Dylan was under pressure quite a bit and pretty quickly at times. And then they weren't.
And never felt comfortable in the pocket. I never
no.
felt like
and
that.
And Tawee Walker ripped off some nice runs, but a lot of them were like he was getting contact right at the line of scrimmage and having to break off a run. Like it wasn't like it was just a big gaping hole. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one reality. And then two, I think they don't really know what their identity is. As soon as SMU took away the deep ball, which is what this offense is often predicated on and what Dylan Gabriel does best, they didn't know what to do. It was very clear. SMU took away exactly what they want to do, which is the big play. What do they always say? Score from afar. That's Jeff Lebby's saying or whatever. They didn't have that tonight, and I think they looked lost when they didn't know what to do. Because they finally put it together there on that 11-play, 75-yard drive, which I thought Dylan looked really good on. But I don't know, man. The reality with the offense is it's inconsistent, just as it was last year. At times it looks phenomenal, and then at times it just totally disappears. I mean, they went four straight possessions there, at the end of the second quarter and then the entire third quarter without scoring a point. And that just can't happen. They had a chance to put them away in the second quarter.
A lot of drop balls tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt the rhythm of the offense. If you just catch a couple of those balls, the one that Gavin Freeman had over in the south end zone, that was something that you just got to make those plays. I mean, it was just a weird night overall.
And, you hate to say it, but, a few plays here, a few plays there. I said to somebody, if Jackson Arnold picks up the fourth and one on that one drive, they go up 21-3 and it's a different game.
Sure.
And, it's just, and we can get into the Jackson Arnold package. Everybody's excited about it. It didn't really work other than like the one play that he broke off for about
I don't
know,
get
six
it.
Yards.
I don't get the Jackson Arnold package.
I thought that was going to be like something that they throw out like as a surprise. Like that was, yeah. I don't know. Now teams can game plan for it and all that kind of stuff.
But I mean, they were worried about SMU though. They were trying to do things that they might need in order to win this football game. So
we talked about it during the week on the unofficial 40 and all that kind of stuff. By the way, are we recording?
Yes, we are recording.
I just making sure.
That's what the computer screen tells me.
It was a weird night. The whole thing was weird. And why are they running the Jackson Arnold package when you have Tawee Walker back there?
I know.
As hard as he runs.
Like George said, it had one play that worked, but they got stuffed on a fourth and inches and didn't get it.
They got stuffed on the third and one that they ended up having to hand the ball off to Tawee Walker. Mm-hmm. Jackson did.
And it doesn't make any sense when you leave him in the game and put him at wide receiver and then Dylan Gabriel comes in and he's the quarterback. Like, it makes you question how imaginative the staff is. And look, I'm going to tell you, we've seen some great offensive coordinators around here. Lincoln Riley had his issues with the umbrella defense in Iowa State. He just never could run the ball enough to open up the passing game. Spencer Rattler, I think a big part of Spencer Rattler's failure at Oklahoma was Lincoln Riley never was able to solve that umbrella defense, and people just kept running it and trotting it out there because it worked. I felt like we saw some of the same things with Jeff Lebby today. Like you said, they took away the deep pass game. I don't know if they were bracketing. I can't see the all-22, but like if they were bracketing.
They had a safety over the top on a lot of it.
So, and Dylan Gabriel didn't feel like he was going to take any chances doing that. And they called a lot of plays out in the flat. They tried to get the ball to the running backs and let them make plays with their legs. But it was just, it was maddening. Anyway, it was
maddening.
Maddeningly frustrating.
It was awful at times.
Jackson Arnold ran the ball four times for 11 yards. He had one for 8 yards. So the other three rushes were for 1 yard.
Yeah, and
he's not Blake Bell.
Home.
I mean, he's
that,
not Blake
that,
Bell.
That's, yeah, he's not Blake Bell. It wasn't there. And I think some of it was, I don't blame it all on Jackson because I don't think the offensive line particularly played great.
No, they were getting,
either.
it was getting mucked up in the middle.
Yeah.
And there was just nothing to run to. Like, it was hard to shoot video because you couldn't see like where the guys were.
I was on board chat for a good part of the night. My God. Marcus Major, if you're related to Marcus Major, do not go read board chat.
I'll
go through that.
I told somebody at halftime, I think I'm probably done with that experience.
But where was Gavin Sochuk?
The Marcus Major experience?
But then he had...
Where was Javonte Barnes?
Yeah. Like,
I don't understand why neither of those two guys were playing.
Yeah.
But then Major has like the swing pass there in the fourth quarter, makes a move on a guy, and it looks great.
Maybe he's just a closer. Maybe Tawi, if you're going to go down this road, maybe Tawi and Javonte are your guys that soften up the defense, and Major comes in later.
Here's the thing they don't have. I think Tawi Walker is a good running back, and I think he can be a guy that can help them. He's not breaking off for a 67 yard.
No, he's not.
That's why I'm like, where's Gavin Sochuk? Because if he hits some of those holes tonight, he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, Brent was asked about it after the game. I still don't think he's 100%.
I don't think so. I mean, he was in there for a couple snaps, but he never touched the ball.
It's just funny to me too, because everybody's so down on the offense, and rightfully so. It wasn't very good. But like the defense that you saw tonight, is that not what everybody's been hoping for?
Yes.
They played against a pretty damn good offense. I was pretty impressed with SMU offensively. And they hold them to 11 points. They held them to without scoring a touchdown in the first two quarters of the game. It's like, that's what everybody has been bitching and complaining about for the last 7 years. The
two guys, Danny Stutzman and Peyton Bowen.
Yeah.
Danny Stutzman sniffed out every single trick play that SMU ran.
Yeah.
I mean, he was...
That reverse
there.
Was beautiful.
And they didn't bite on the flea flicker. The reverse was—he was just right there, and Trace Ford was right there with him. I thought the pass rush was better tonight. I mean, the pressure was better tonight. It didn't show on the stat sheet, but there were a lot of plays where Preston Stone, I was pretty impressed with his poise. Like, he will get rid of the football if he knows he's in a no-win situation. He's not trying to force things. And there were plenty of times where he knew that OU was getting ready to track him down, couldn't find an open receiver, just threw it out of bounds. So that tonight resulted in a lot of those throwaways that don't really show on the stat sheet. So I was encouraged by what I saw. And you saw a lot more PJ Adebore tonight. R. Mason Thomas did some good things. He kind of got banged up, I think, a little bit.
Did he? I missed that.
I think he walked off under his own power. And then, of course, Justin Harrington gets hurt, but then he comes back and he seems to be fine.
George, can I add one more name to your list with Danny Stutzman and Peyton Bowen? I'm about as all in as I could possibly be with Kip Lewis.
Oh,
he was
yes.
very good. Yeah.
Kip Lewis is just the play that he made in the fourth quarter, not the play on the sideline, but the play in the middle of the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big time play.
I thought Brent summed him up perfectly. Ball magnet is what
he's just around
him.
The ball all the time.
His instincts are some of the best.
And Kobe
on the
McKenzie
team.
Had it's crazy.
He came
to
in
me.
A very short burst, but he came in and popped a guy at the line of scrimmage.
Like, those guys are getting big rep or snaps late in games. And I know that it was
productive
like
snaps.
It was a 2-score game at the time, but still, or a 3-score game technically, but still.
Look, there's a lot of things about the defense to be proud of. I mean, here's a crazy stat. Oklahoma surrendered just 3 points through the first 7 quarters of the season.
Yeah, Brent brought that up.
The last time OU did not give up a touchdown in its first 7 quarters of a season was 1999.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wow. That's
crazy.
When they beat Indiana State 49-0 and Baylor 41-10.
It's crazy. I mean, listen. Arkansas State's not very good.
They're terrible, yeah.
And I know that we said that you're not going to just call them world beaters or champions after shutting down SMU offensively, but mark my words, SMU will go score points on people all year. They have some very good talent.
I think they're going to play for their conference championship.
I could see them playing in a G6 Bowl.
Knighton's going to have a lot of yards this year.
January 6th Bowl. Not January 6th Bowl. That'd be interesting. January Bowl. What is it called? What are the
New Year's Six?
New Year's Six.
Yeah,
they should change it to J6. Be very patriotic.
Okay. Anyway, no, I think Knighton's gonna have a ton of yards this year. I mean, he was the only guy that you were just like, oh shit, like
and
he
what,
almost
I mean
broke.
the run that Lawrence Key Lawrence stopped and got the ball away from him. That was a hell
he
of
had a
run.
Good night tonight.
Key Lawrence,
I thought that was the most consistent he's played for a game from beginning to end.
Listen to how many guys we're talking
really
about.
Two really good weeks together.
Listen to how many guys we're mentioning. Like, that's just the difference. They have so many more guys on. Think how many guys they played tonight at. Like, they rotated like six guys at safety.
Oh, Kenai Walker?
Kenai Walker, yeah.
I thought he played well tonight. Had a couple pass breakups.
He was great. Also, Woody Washington is so underappreciated.
It's because you don't talk about him, and he's a cornerback.
Yes, yeah. he's just so consistent.
Has he allowed a
I think he had. There was probably a couple tonight. They were playing soft coverage tonight, but
the big play early that was Kenai Walker that gave up the long shot down the field. The first
I
big
thought
play
I thought
had.
It was just a really
it was a great
good
throw. Yeah, but I mean that's part of the problem too. Is like defense, you can name guy after guy after guy that impressed you. Offense, like Blake Smith is scoring a touchdown.
Where was Jaden Gibson and Nick Anderson and all those guys that we saw? And I asked Levy after the game, you know, did you tighten the receiver rotation? Like, where were those guys? And he's like, well, we didn't have as many possessions. But that isn't – I don't know. It just felt weird that we didn't see guys that a week ago were making some great plays.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're tailoring your offense. You're not tailoring it to your best players. I mean, that's the problem I have. Now, I think they're trying to use Andrell Anthony as well as you could. But Jahlil Farouk, you know, isn't getting the ball. Gavin Freeman, I know he had a drop, but you're not really doing a whole lot to get him the ball. Drake Stoops. Like you said, Nick Anderson's been exciting. And Jaden Gibson's, you know, I think you're still wanting to know, is he legit even after, you know, two catches against there? One was very good. But at the same time, it's like, why is it that Tawie Walker and Blake Smith are and even Austin Stogner, by the way, Austin Stogner caught a pass tonight. He's done.
I like Austin, but he is just a zero factor in the game.
I mean, it was shocking how unathletic he looked.
Yeah.
Running, just trying to run down the field.
They also ran a lot of two tight sets. They were in 22 personnel a lot, which just is kind of head scratching to me because they just don't have playmakers that tight. And why not go, you know, four or five wide rather than having two tight ends again? It just doesn't. Like, I'd rather have a Jaden Gibson out there than an Austin Stogner on the field. And I know it's not that simple in terms of what you're trying to do, but I just can't imagine defenses are going out there and go, oh, no, they got Blake Smith and Austin Stogner out there. Like, what are we going to do? You know, I just...
Well, the bad thing about it is it wasn't a great game plan, and it puts more pressure on Dylan Gabriel because, I mean, he didn't throw the ball very much tonight. I mean, there was a point where they had 39 rushes and 19 passes in the game. I remember tweeting that out on the Scoop account. That's a massive imbalance for a college football team with that many passing weapons.
It was a very loud, like, disgruntlement.
Yeah,
disgruntled
the
crowd when they ran the ball in the third and six.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they got –
They had a third and seven, and they
was it the
they
third and seven?
And they picked up 1 yard, and then they had. I thought the biggest head scratcher was there was a third and four, and they ran a QB draw with Dylan Gabriel, and it just went nowhere. And I was like, "What?
Well, what about
Dylan
the possession
Gabriel's
where,
not a running quarterback?
What like, about the possession where they force a turnover on downs? They get the ball back, they get a 5 yard offsides penalty, and they still go three and out because they had three unproductive runs in a row.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that was the height of, like, what are you doing?
It just never came together tonight. And I, you know.
Offensively,
Offensively. And
that was the Dylan Gabriel QB drive, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Was that the third down play, too?
Yeah, third and four.
God, that was ugly.
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't think they know what they're doing.
And there were times where you thought, like, back to last year, when all of a sudden you're looking up and they're facing third and long. And they're getting ready to punt the ball back 45 seconds after getting the ball back.
I think it all started when the offense went out there and the offensive line was like, oh, shit, we can't handle these guys up front. Like, they're beating us. And from that moment on, the offense just continued to fall further and further apart. And then they finally, you know, Marcus Major wasn't able to gain any significant yardage. And then they put Tawie in there and they started moving the ball. And he had the one really nice play around the edge where he bounced it outside. And you were like, okay, this offense, you felt like maybe they could get on track. Then they come out of halftime, they get a three and out on defense, and that's when that happens, where the offense comes out, struggles, they get the turnover on down, struggles again, and you're just like, my God, like, what's going on?
Yeah. Is it? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not sunshine pumping, I swear, but they did win by 17.
They covered
against what I think we all think is a pretty good football team. They were, I'm not going to say dominant, but they were very good defensively at times.
It's just that they cut it to
oh, it was a 3-point game in the fourth quarter.
3-point game in the fourth 100%. Quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter.
I
know Brent came in and he was like, we might have lost this game a year ago.
I think they would have.
I think they would have too.
I'll tell you this. If Danny Stutzman was 2 inches higher on that tackle and he got kicked out of the game, I think they might have lost the game tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, Kerry, we've seen this before. Like, if that team last year would have been playing in the first half, they're down 24-14, 21-14, whatever. I mean, I think they're getting beat at halftime. Last year's team. Because they're not getting stops in the red zone.
No.
Last year's team.
Billy Bowman made a couple of nice plays down there, too.
He had a rough start, but he made up for it. And, you know, we talked about Peyton Bowen. I mean, he's just so good.
Sky's
the limit for that guy.
They're a lot better in the run game than they were last year. I mean,
no, they are.
Up front, I know everybody's worried about the pass rush, but they're setting the edge really well. They're getting after it.
You're talking about defensively.
Defensively, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't get the thing about the pass rush. Like, they're there. They just can't get home.
Well, and Preston Stone was just there. Preston Stone was just really good about scrambling and just getting rid of it.
He knew that he would, when he felt pressure, he was getting mobile.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sliding out of the pocket. Like, that was, you could tell that was the game plan. And it was, if you feel pressure, you know, slide, evade and look downfield, and you know he just couldn't find an open receiver, and he'd just get rid of it. So I don't really have a problem with the pass rush tonight, and I think with our Mason Thomas back and PJ getting more, even Ethan Downs was active tonight.
PJ Adebore played quite a bit early.
Did we see Reggie Grimes tonight?
I didn't notice him. I mean, he might have played. I'm sure he did.
I don't ever remember him being in the game.
I don't know if Reggie Grimes was even there tonight.
He was suited up.
Oh, was he? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
He was on our went through the depth chart, and he was on it.
Here, I'll look at the participation chart. He didn't play.
Yeah.
Reggie Grimes did not play tonight. I thought, and you know, for the most part, I know he gets a lot of shit, but I thought Ethan Downs was pretty good.
I mean, the sack he had outside
of the face mask.
That got called back for the face mask. That was a great play by him. I mean, he was in pursuit and actually got to him, and then he just, you know, I think sometimes the face mask, it's like, what are you going to do, you know? But.
Well, and look, all this goes around, and there's something we have to talk about also, and that's the post-game situation.
Well, if they need help offensively, I know somebody that might be able to help them.
A former coach.
A former coach.
Yeah.
Maybe in the Big 12 has a little bit of experience there.
Yeah. Maybe considered an offensive mastermind.
It's uncomfortable, to say the least.
It really sucked the wind out of it, because I think there was still, I know people were frustrated by the game a little bit, but there's still a sense of they won, they figured it out, whatever, and then that, you know, Art Briles is spotted on the sideline, and all of a sudden, that's the story of the night, and it just, plain and simple, it can't happen. I don't know how, you know, the university or Jeff Lebby, Art Briles, anybody lets that happen. It's a bad look.
Well, here's the thing, and you know, it wasn't like Art Briles was on the sideline during the game. This was a post-game situation. He was in the stands with Jeff Lebby's family. He came down onto the field with the rest of, you know, Jeff's family, his kids, his wife. He is Jeff Lebby's wife's father. That's his father-in-law. And it's one of those deals that looked even – and look, people going after – I can't believe I'm saying this. Some people going after Parker Thune, he had no – you know, he should have taken that picture. He should have posted that picture.
I mean, I got video.
There's no problem with that. You got video of it. I didn't see that. But, like – people that are criticizing him, like, that's where you don't understand the role of a a reporter, a journalist. Like, you don't bury that stuff. It's not our fault that Art Briles was on the field. Is a you know, journalist, it's not our fault. That's just what happened. The picture was taken. You got to stop criticizing people or saying you shouldn't have posted that. Of course he should have. And anyway, he posts that. It blows up because he's wearing a Jordan Brand OU. Mm-hmm. What would you call that? Just a sleeve shirt.
Merchandise.
Sleeve
shirt. Yeah, yeah. Like team-issued apparel.
And it looked like team-issued apparel. And you were like, that makes it like, oh, my God, they're sanctioning him being there. Like, yeah. That, I think that's the one thing. And the way it was presented without any context, and that's no blame, but then people's minds are racing like, oh, my God, he was on the sideline the entire game when it was after the game was over. And
I will say, like, and I'm not defending him because it should have never happened. It's very avoidable. They were very far away from, like, you could see him. I mean, everybody saw him because we all walk into the south end zone together, but
they're on the other end zone, the southeast end zone.
Yeah, they were. It was almost like they were trying to stay away from everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just, you can't walk down that road.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even, like, this wasn't the first time that he's come to a game. He's been at other OU football games. You just got to avoid that situation entirely.
And, like, if I'm in the stands and I see Art Briles, like, with his family, I'm just like, ooh, boy, there's the infamous Art Briles. It's not like a slight on the university, but when he's down on the field and he's wearing the Jordan Brand stuff, I understand it's going to get a reaction, and it's gotten quite a reaction.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
I mean, Josie put out a statement, so that tells you everything
and
you need
he was
to know.
Very it was a pretty upset, damning obviously. Statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically saying, I said we were not going to allow stuff like this, and then they went and did it.
Do we have that statement around here?
Yes, I have it.
I mean, it was basically like it almost seems to me like they had set ground rules, and this was to
like
never
your
happen.
Your father is not to be.
This is the statement. I was just as disappointed as many of our fans when I learned of the postgame situation tonight. It shouldn't have happened, and it was my expectation it never would, based on boundaries we previously set. I've addressed it with the appropriate staff. I mean, and even Brent did not seem happy about it postgame.
No, and again, this is not something that, you know, he was in control of. It was after the game. He had things going on. He had the press conference to get to. He had, you know, recruits on campus. Last thing he's worried about is whose parents going to come out of the stands and down to the field to talk to their kid. And here's the other thing. To me, the whole thing is kind of disingenuous, and that's just social media and Twitter and all. Like, Art Briles has been canceled. He has been canceled. I understand a lot of people will say, and George alerted me to some Michigan stuff, state stuff that's going on tonight, some allegations there. But it's like, how many times can you cancel someone? And I'm sure, you know, to Jeff Lebby, that, you know, that's his wife's father. Like, how many times are you supposed to tell your wife whose father has been through, and he's put himself through it, but he's been through the ringer. He's been, you know, he's been demonized as much as someone can be. He's basically a pariah. I mean, there's some international football league he's going to be the coach of. I know you wrote about it in your story, George. But it's like, at what point do you stop beating the dead horse and telling your wife, no, your father's not welcome here? Like, look at it kind of from his perspective. I don't know that this is the way it's going, but I also probably think that in that family, when you've gone through that much kind of trauma, you have probably convinced yourself, like, and I'm sure, I don't know what Art Briles, like, is Art Briles, like, is he like, they made too much out of that? And none of that really happened. Like, has he kind of tried to wipe it under the rug a little bit as his family, like, just to move on? And now this happens. And, like, if you're Jeff Lebby, you don't want to keep beating that dead horse, like I said. So it kind of, you kind of relent. You kind of, you have to be reminded, like, no, he cannot appear to be associated with OU or or sanctioned to be around the program because of all that stuff that happened in the past. And I'm sure that's traumatizing. I'm sure his wife, did not have a good night. I'm sure Jeff did not have a good night. It's just one of those things, like, Art Briles has to be the one to realize, like, I can't do that stuff. Like,
I think there is something there with that.
Yeah.
Like, don't even put yourself in that spot.
Right. Well, I know you want to have a normal life again.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
when it comes to being around your son in football in a any kind of a capacity
in
the public.
And clearly, I mean, Art's not the smartest out there, but like he's got to know that what position he's putting Jeff in by going
right,
down there.
Yeah. Sure.
You know,
and you want to get your son blackballed from college football too, and, yeah, and your wife not being able to live the lifestyle that they're accustomed to living. Because I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people out there right now actively calling for Jeff Libby to be fired.
I mean, those people are idiots.
But it's not, and I like I said, it's disingenuous because those are people that want him fired for football reasons because they don't think it's a very good offensive
coordinator. They're mad because OU only scored 28 points tonight.
Right.
And they weren't able
and
to
they look
ball
pretty rough.
Look, here's my question shit. Is did any of this come up when Jeff Libby was being hired?
Like, I think it's a fair question. And, like, and I think that that's something that, unfortunately, because OU's playing Tulsa next week, too,
it's going to be the story of
That's going to be the story of the week. That's gonna it's gonna be asked of Jeff on Monday. Brent's gonna have to comment on it.
Yeah.
It's a shit show now.
Not to mention it was the Tulsa game when Jeff showed up on the sidelines.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's a shit show that was so easily avoidable.
Yeah.
So easily avoidable.
Stay in the tunnel.
Don't,
you know,
don't
just
come, don't come out
around
onto the field.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna see you.
It just and I, you know, what is Jeff supposed to say post game? I know people are mad about his comments. I'm like, I guess he could have been like, oh, we screwed up.
Well, people are like, but oh, he's like, tone deaf. All he said was what the truth is. Like,
yeah.
It's a, the only thing he didn't say is, it's a very difficult situation because he is my father-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? Like, the only thing that he you could have conveyed was like, what do you want me to do? Like,
yeah,
he is my father-in-law.
It's going to be interesting.
He came to the game with my family. He is the grandfather of my children.
Monday's going to be very interesting when he talks to the media because it's going to be...
He's going to have to say something to appease, I think, Joe Castiglione.
With the way that OU usually handles stuff like this, I would be surprised if he doesn't open with a statement instead of just going straight into questions.
Yeah.
And I know that somebody will, you know, I'm sure there will be a follow-up.
Don't defend your father-in-law in the process of that statement.
Yeah, don't wear the CAB shirt on Monday. That probably would not be the best move.
And that kind of shows you, like, this is all... you know, fan-generated, like, people were supporting Art Briles even after all the stuff happened,
sure,
after he was fired.
Sure.
Because he won.
Yeah.
And if Jeff Libby had been a better offensive coordinator, people would be defending him and saying, oh, it's his father-in-law. What is he supposed to do, not see his family?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the door is open there for people to want him out because he is not living up to the Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray era of offense right now.
I just also wonder, too, if we want to think big picture here, like, what does this do for Brent and Jeff's relationship in terms of just, I don't know. I mean, I just, it's got to be a little bit of friction there in terms of if Brent really had no idea and all of a sudden this becomes a PR nightmare for them. Like,
and they had agreed that his dad would not be around the
program. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, because I'm sure Brent, when Brent was interviewing for this or knew that he was going to hire Jeff for this job, it came up.
Yeah, they said, didn't they say that they did a big, I don't want to call it a background check, but they did their due diligence
process.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to imagine that this puts some sort of friction between Brent and Jeff. And, you know, can they overcome that? Because I'm sure Brent's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Like, this is not what we need right now.
Right.
It's sort of like two totally different situations, but it's almost like the Cale Gundy situation in the sense that it's like, it just, this is not something they need right now.
I think the thing that, and this is bad to put it in these terms, but the thing that helps OU from a PR standpoint is the Mel Tucker thing. The nation is going to focus on that instead of Art Briles being in a post-game sideline.
Which, if you haven't read the article, I would just suggest doing so. The details are...
I was starting to read it.
Pretty disgusting.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
He jerked off while on the phone with Brenda Tracy.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he's saying that it's consensual phone sex.
Did, like, he have a relationship with Brenda Tracy?
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. I mean, I think Mel Tucker's going to be fired on Monday.
Jesus
Christ. But they owe him. Would they not? I guess he'd be fired for cause.
Owes him, yeah. Yeah, you get fired for cause.
It's
a
shit show in East Lansing right now.
He's going to have
to lawyer up. It's weird that comes out on late night Saturday, too. Did they even play today? Michigan State?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, they beat Richmond 45-14.
Weird. Yeah, they had one of those games.
Weird.
So, yeah, that's going to be out there. By the way, you mentioned Tulsa. Want to remind everybody, we'll be driving to Tulsa in style next week.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Eskridge Lexus. They take care of us. They're our official travel partner. Ed Eskridge and Will over there. Love those guys. They take care of us and always have great partnership with them. Appreciate everything they do. And, just great cars. Eddie's got the NX. I've got the IS.
UX.
UX. Not the NA. When you were looking for a new car after, what was that? The gasket blew or something on the car?
Engine basically.
Engine blew up. Wasn't worth fixing. I'm sure it was probably kind of a scary process a little bit, like going to buy a new car.
It was.
Thinking a luxury
car.
They
took care of me.
But it was wasn't the that
easiest
big of a deal.
It was the easiest process ever.
It's the same, like when I went to get my IS, like my car had just been totaled from a hailstorm. And I was like, oh, shit, like the luxury car, got to have a big deposit and, you know, all this stuff. And, like, it was easy. I mean, they took care of me. They set up my financing getting ready to pay that baby off here pretty soon. It's just an incredible driving experience. Eddie, you can talk about this, going from, like, a Hyundai to a Lexus. There's just no comparison.
It really is no comparison.
Because you get, like, all these people are always out there like, Hyundai just as good as Lexus. No, it's not. Like,
no.
You have not driven them both, like, for months at a time.
Smooth ride, never had any problems with it.
And you love the headlights.
It. Oh, the headlight difference is, you don't know about headlight difference between the Hyundai and then the Lexus.
Yeah.
It's drastic.
It's something to aspire to.
So when I'm driving back on Saturday night from Tulsa, I'll be able to see everything on the Turner Turnpike.
Yeah.
And especially with the Enjoy as well.
Exactly. So yeah, go check EskridgeLexus.com out. If you want an SUV, if you want a sedan, they've got it all. You want a convertible. I know George is, you're not ready for a Lexus yet, are you?
Maybe soon.
I just blacked out for like the last 2 minutes while you guys are doing that.
You might be soon though.
Yeah, no, I've got almost 160,000 miles on the old FJ Cruiser. So,
but see, you got a Toyota. You know the power of the Toyota engine. Very
yeah,
good
it's
engines.
Great engine. I've had no issues with it.
Which Lexus is owned by Toyota. So that's why I said it. But go check them out, EskridgeLexus.com. Just go by if you're looking for a new car. Tell them you're a Sooner Scoop listener or Sooner Scoop subscriber, a post game listener. They will give you a special deal on your next luxury car purchase. I think we come out of this when there's going to be. Like, the mentions on Sooner Scoop are just a dumpster fire right now, and it's all the Jeff Lebby stuff, and that's going to take us into, and I think that's why it's important that he has a good press conference on Monday. I mean, get it behind you as much as you can.
Can I say something really insensitive?
Okay.
I don't really, at the end of the day, I don't know if I really care what he has to say about Art Briles. Yeah. I'm more interested in how he's going to fix this offense.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go about
it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's his father-in-law. I know that it's a terrible look for OU, and it should have never happened. What else is he supposed to say?
He needs to just come out and say, I screwed up.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have happened. It won't happen again.
I don't think he'll say that, though, because I don't know if he necessarily feels that way.
Well, I don't think...
Sometimes you just say something...
Tough shit.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Joe C., I'm probably like, tough shit, dude.
Yeah.
You're falling on the sword on this one.
Yeah, and that's fair. It's very fair.
Especially if they really did have this conversation about it not happening.
Right.
Then I think he has to be like, you have to own this.
Right.
And then, I think he needs to get up there and just be honest about it and just say, I screwed up, won't happen again. And, he is my father-in-law, but there are certain things that cannot happen. And that's one of them. I don't know how I'd phrase it. I mean, it's going
to
be
tough. It's about as good as you could phrase it. I mean, you're basically just going to have to tell Art, like, you're not going to come out. I'm not going to support you here.
I'm praying for Mike Houck these next couple days.
Well, will we get the murder reporters there? That's my question.
Oh, God.
I'm not take a shot at Stormy Jones or anything, but, or Storm, is it Storm,
Storm
Jones?
Storm. I had class with Storm.
Storm might come through.
I like Storm.
I can maybe talk Storm into coming down on Monday.
He's my guy.
He's part of the morning gang.
I use that phrase endearingly, the murder reporters, because... They've seen so much shit like going to a football press conference and asking a tough question. They've talked to people who have just like their friend has just been murdered and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A baby's gotten run over in the street.
I'll clarify for what Carrie's saying.
Some shit.
The murder reporters, when we refer to them, those are like the actual like
the real journalists, yes,
that are on the news that go out and do stories,
yes,
in A block.
Yes, like
they're not asking about the inside zone blocking
right,
scheme.
Right.
They're not there for that. They are there to ask very direct questions. Yeah. That with very little tact.
Oh, I think that there's probably a 65% to 70% chance the regular reporters are down here on Monday, uh-huh, doing the man on the street interviews. Do you feel safe on this campus now, knowing that Art Briles was around here on Saturday?
Jesus,
I'm serious. That's like the news. That's a news wet dream.
Are any of like here's like the murder reporter like type questions like. With your, now that it's okay for you to have your father on the sideline, do you think that other former players of yours at Baylor, like Sean Oakman, will be welcome here?
Right, right. I don't know though, man. They played a guy that got arrested on the PA tonight, and Zach Bryan.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I mean they got felons on PA systems.
I mean he
did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong.
He got arrested for the time honored tradition of "Do you know who I am?"
I right. do think he should have to put a discount on his tickets though. After he got arrested.
Well, you're worried about
your investment is what's, yes, what's the deal is. George bought some very expensive floor seats.
Well, and I was, when he first got arrested, I was like, well, maybe he'll cancel his tour and I'll get my money back.
No, it wasn't. I mean, and it was one of those things. Like, I'm a big Zach Bryan fan. Like, I think his new album's fantastic.
So good.
And I was just like, oh, God, I hope it wasn't like he said something to a black patrol officer or something. Like,
yeah.
We don't need a Morgan Wallen situation here. So it's like when I read the details of it, it wasn't good, but it was like, okay, at least that's as bad as
he just
as it
basically
gets.
Yelled at them, I think.
It's never good to. I mean, and here's the thing, like highway patrol officers, they die on the side of the road like every once in a while. There's tragedy involved. So, like, and I know I saw the video, it wasn't like really like on highway, you know, on a major highway, but. You know, when you tell one of them, go ahead, arrest me, they're like, okay, you got it, pal. Yeah,
let's go in. I needed to go pee anyways. They were, OU actually, and not to just completely change the subject, if we're done with Mark
we're
Bryles,
done with Zach Bryan.
They actually Bryles. Got more pressure than I, it's kind of like last week. They had more pressure than I think I realized. They were credited with 5 quarterback hurries tonight. Danny Stutzman, Jaron Kanick, Jonah Lo'ulu,
man,
Trace
they
Ford,
they really like bringing Kanick and Stutzman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On those blitzes. Yeah.
And they're going to get home. I.
By the way, and
eventually
here's the other thing.
They have to get home.
Here's the other thing that needs to be celebrated about the defense tonight. And fourth downs are a crapshoot, but 4 of 16 on third down, you know, completion percentage.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
6 of 20 combined with third and fourth downs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like it is kind of sort of funny that, you know, OU fans have been clamoring and wanting this defense to take steps for years upon years upon years and could never get off the field. Always, there was always something that was preventing them. And tonight they hold SMU to 4-12 on third down. Pretty damn good defense overall. And all we want to talk about is bitching about the offense.
Well, it's because it's flip-flop. I mean, it's like as soon as the defense gets good, it's all of a sudden the offense can't score.
It's just funny how that works out, though.
It's like The Office when Michael Scott's talking about getting the vasectomy, and he's like, snip, snap, snip, snap. You know, it's like that's what OU fans probably feel like. It's like one good thing happens, one bad thing happens.
Maybe snip, everybody snap, just snap. Needs to get a vasectomy.
Yeah. But
I have I spent so much time watching Parks and Recs outtakes on YouTube lately.
Oh, Chris Pratt has the best blooper of all time on that show.
Yeah.
He's talking about comeback stories.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also the one about the when he goes to poop and he keeps wiping and wiping. Yeah. It's like a marker. That's a really good one. Anyway, I mean 28-11. It got dicey there, but I think you have to give Oklahoma credit. And maybe that's something that they've learned on offense. Like, hey, we've got some guys, whether it's Jahlil Farouk, Andrell Anthony, like we have some playmakers out there. We just have to get them more involved. I mean, they've got to find ways to get the ball to their dynamic guys instead of, you can't play every game this year forcing Tawie Walker down everybody's throat.
No.
You're not going to be in the Big 12 championship if you don't figure this out a little bit more on offense.
No, and especially if you look at what happened down in Tuscaloosa today. I mean, it is what it is. They got about basically three weeks to figure it out. And honestly, they might only have 2 weeks to figure it out because Cincinnati, they went and beat Pittsburgh on the road today. I don't think Pittsburgh's any good, but all of a sudden, they were
up really big, and Pittsburgh scored 14 in the fourth quarter.
That's the next one is Cincinnati. That's a big test, and especially on the road. That true road game because sure. Next week at Tulsa,
it's going to be a home game.
Yes, they got
wiped by Washington today.
Yeah, I mean, and Tulsa's just not any good. But Cincinnati will play them tough, and then you turn around, and you play Iowa State at home, which I don't know if you guys saw the Iowa State Iowa game. Iowa State's just not very good. They can't score. I think some of this is also OU fans probably watch the game tonight, and then they look up and they see what Texas did to Alabama, and they're like, oh, shit. So I think that's part of also the...
That's a wake-up call for everybody in the conference. I mean,
yeah.
Really across the country. I mean, Texas might be top five next week.
They probably should be. I mean, you go into Tuscaloosa...
It's the best win that anybody has this season.
They won handily. They controlled that game. I mean, Quinn Ewers was fantastic for them.
Sounds like Milroe kind of sucks.
Yeah, I don't think they have a quarterback.
Which, you gotta run into that at some point.
Alabama's gonna Trevor be all Knight high, era. But Texas played well. Quinn Ewers played well.
Yeah, and that to me is a little surprising just because we haven't seen him go in and have that great game yet, and now he has. So it's a different Texas. They're back.
I think that you can say, like, they are somewhat back. Like, that's one of the biggest wins Texas has had in 10, 15 years.
It's the biggest win.
Yeah, 100%.
Trying to go anywhere but ESPN so I don't get an autoplay ad.
They were talking about that might be one of the top five road victories for Texas all time. I mean, I know that we're not trying to scare you out there. And then Colorado looked really good again today.
Yeah.
I know Nebraska's just god awful.
Their quarterback is terrible.
He has six turnovers in the first six quarters of the year.
Kansas State was impressive today, even though it was Troy, a 42-13 win for them. I mean, I think the Ohio State score was a little misleading.
Baylor and Oregon tried to bounce back. They did play well.
Yeah.
But Tech, you mean?
Who did I say?
Oregon. Baylor. Well,
oh, Baylor, yeah, yeah. Baylor playing Oregon. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the one thing that we could all agree about, the one thing that brings a smile to everybody's face, Texas A&M's just a beautiful creature, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh.
Just got their ass whooped today. Gave up 48 to Miami down on the road.
I don't think Miami's great either. No. Like, I think Miami's, like, probably above average. But
Miami went through the motions last week against Miami, Ohio.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful, though. I mean, it's the same A&M bullshit that you see every year.
I mean, they got to start talking about how they buy out Jimbo.
But is that going to help? You could put somebody else in there, and is it truly going to help? They're the same team every year.
They're kind of like they're the better version of Nebraska.
I mean, they're Nebraska fans would kill for A&M
everywhere. Yeah,
they would kill for that type of success. Nebraska would right now. They would kill to have a team that.
Yeah, but that wouldn't last long.
8 or 9 win team.
What's A&M's schedule? Who do they got next?
I don't know who they have next week, and then SEC play starts.
You know what kind of a concerning result was today? Missouri Tigers. Was it Georgia that killed Middle Tennessee State last week? Somebody killed them last week. But they only won 23-19 today.
Missouri's not good.
No. See if.
But Williams Winery, he'll fix the program.
A&M has Louisa Monroe next week, and then Auburn.
Did Auburn end up beating Cal?
Yeah, they won.
Okay,
they got a pick in the end zone to win the game. Then they play Arkansas, Bama,
Theo East had
Tennessee, and
two
South
catches
Carolina
for 18 yards today. Luther Burden had 8 for 117.
I mean, is A&M going to win 6 games? They're going to be right there.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
Jeez.
So, I don't know. I mean, again, at the end of the day, OU wins by 17. If you would have said at 4:30, if you would have said, Eddie, OU is going to win by 17, I think anybody would have taken it. But it was just the way that thing went down. And, I think there was everybody that was in the stadium when SMU takes advantage of some penalties there in the fourth quarter. They get the touchdown. They get the two-point conversion, which was a little bit of a fluke play. I don't know if Key Lawrence just got lost on the play. It looked like he was surprised that the ball was headed his direction. But they did answer. And it's kind of like you wrote about, George. That's something that, you know, while we probably sit there and roll our eyes at it, that's something that they've talked about since, you know, last season, basically, since spring ball, that they wanted to find ways to win in the fourth quarter. They wanted to find ways to finish games, and they did that.
Here's the thing, too, is, and I don't want to just, like, hype up SMU, but that might be one of the better offenses OU faces this year. I mean, Texas is going to be better offensively. Kansas, I don't know if you guys watched any of the Kansas-Illinois game. Jalen Daniels is special. UCF, maybe. Maybe TCU. I mean, TCU may not be very good. But, I mean, you're talking about a team that I think is going to be pretty decent this year, and they've got some skill guys. So for them to go out there and have that kind of defensive performance, I think is just promising. And they held up well in the red zone, too, which I think was what you wanted to see, especially early in the game.
Yeah, Central Florida actually beat Boise 18-16 today.
Yeah, so, I mean, UCF's offense, I don't know. Their quarterback, what's his name, Reese Plumlee, he's just pretty inconsistent. But Texas and Kansas are the only two left on the schedule that I'm like, they have better offenses than SMU. But the rest of them, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to face better offenses than that. Cincinnati's playing better than I think most anticipated.
I mean, so they played Northwestern.
I still don't think, like, Pittsburgh's any good, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
But Emory Jones has apparently been playing a lot really better than people anticipated, so...
It's a weird second week because you had like North Carolina going into like quadruple overtime or whatever that was with App State.
Yeah.
Two overtimes. 40-34 was the final. And then you had Rice lost to Texas and you thought, oh, they suck. They beat Houston today.
Houston's bad.
Houston is bad, but they won a week ago.
But like OU has a stretch. This is where you're going to know what OU's made of. When they play Texas, then they turn around, they get a bye week, then they get UCF at home, and then at Kansas.
What did UCF do up in Boise today?
They won 18-16.
Ooh.
Then OU turns around and plays OSU, West Virginia, and BYU, and I don't think any of those three teams are that good.
No.
I mean, OSU still doesn't have a quarterback.
No, but you're still. I mean, I think you feel like you have a defense after two games. But then, you know, Nebraska happened last year and everybody thought they had things figured out.
It does feel different, though, right?
It does.
Like, they have better athletes.
This is the Danny Stutson that I thought would be the Danny Stutson last year. Like, I thought, okay, this guy's going to figure it out. He's going to become a leader of the team. He's going to be a guy that makes plays all over the field. And he was, you know, he was lost sometimes last year.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that today.
No, he was excellent.
Oh, and they're just, I hate bringing this guy up, but. When you replace Justin Broyles with Peyton Bowen, he's not making that play today.
No.
Or what Key Lawrence did today. He's not making the play Key Lawrence. I mean, it's just they've upgraded in several spots, and they just look more like even when SMU early in the game bust the two big plays and they go tempo,
mm-hmm.
and OU just responds, and it wasn't like they're having communication issues on the sideline, how to get lined up. That's a spot last year. You go back and you watch when teams went tempo. Yeah, they crumbled, and they would just give up a score like that. Yeah. For them to hold them to a field goal there, I think was a huge maturity moment for them.
But like you said, I would love to see the snap counts because, you know, how much did Jacob Lacey play today? How much did, you know, DJ Terry play?
Jacob Lacey started.
Yeah, I'm just saying overall snaps. Yeah. Like, they're able to rotate because Jonah Lualu was in there. I mean, like, I didn't see that much Jordan Kelly today, or at least he didn't stand out to me.
He played quite a bit.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just fresher. And I mean, you do kind of tend to see more Rondell Bothroyd, I think, than anybody else.
When they need a stop, Rondell Bothroyd is in the game. He's just so consistently good on the edge in terms of he's not going to get pushed off the ball. He's going to play. He's not... if he's supposed to set the edge, he's going to set the edge. He's not going to leave his position.
No, they're very solid against the run, like you talked about. It was impressive, and it's been impressive the last 2 weeks. And we're not, like I said, not going to learn a lot against Tulsa, but they
also need to go out and they need to just beat the shit out of them.
Right? Oh yeah. No, there's no
100%.
Doubt.
Get back to dominating. Like
you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to. You want to put up another 73-0 type performance against Tulsa.
Well, I'm hoping that we can kind of get past all the, you know, Lebby stuff early on this week and get back to football. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing. You're playing Tulsa in a week of controversy, so that's going to kind of take center stage a little bit.
And it kind of sucks because it is, you know, it like well, one, it sucks because you just, I mean, this is the least favorite part of our jobs is when we have to cover stuff like this. But also, like, all the Kevin Wilson storylines this week would have been fun to
dive into. Yeah,
and it's just like we don't. Really, I mean, we will, but it
yeah,
won't
we
be
will.
As
yeah.
People won't care as much, I would guess, to say.
I think people are going to get over this fashion. I mean, game day, the emotions of it, you know, not playing that well. I think people will get over it pretty fast. So, anyway, next week, Tulsa, lots of coverage from tonight. Go check it out throughout the day on Soonerscoop.com. Remember, we have two different podcasts, whatever podcast platform you're on. There's the Unofficial 40 that's separate from this one. And this is just titled Oklahoma Sooners Post Game. Go search that one out. It'll say Soonerscoop.com on it. Well, if you're listening to this, you've searched it out. But just as a reminder, subscribe to both those podcasts so you know when they drop. This one will be, you know, early morning because it's about 2:30 now. We started just after 1:30. So we appreciate everybody listening. Thanks to the guys at Eskridge Lexus. We'll be seeing you guys soon this week to pick up some wheels to head over to Tulsa. So we're looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a little bit of a smaller crew this week. I think just George and Eddie because of the space limitations of the stadium there. But it's going to be fun getting through, going on to week three.
I'm doing the fight on for my Trojans today.
Did you see some of the throws he made today?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah,
he's amazing. Two things real quick before we get out of here. One, Danny Stutzman got his car towed.
I saw
player parking.
Uh-huh.
Or not player parking, but it looked like he was parked over by the Ever Center.
Yeah,
that can't happen.
The dining hall.
That's
whatever,
unacceptable. Yeah. That the cops should be fired. The tow truck should be fired. And he probably parked in the wrong spot. Whatever. I don't care. Danny Stutzman,
you
he had
can
17
identify.
Tackles.
You've been towed before.
He had 17 tackles. Two, Lindsey Street.
Nicely yeah. done. Yes.
Very, well. Very nice Very today. Nice it was packed over there. Met a ton of scoopers were over there.
Awesome.
So shout out to everybody. Scott
see some flags?
Yeah, I did see a couple flags. Okay. Scott Seaton, met him. He's a scooper from San Diego. He kind of helped Daniel set everything up over there. So it was awesome.
Very
and
nice.
Props to the Jones brothers for kind of setting up everything over where I was.
That's awesome. Great job, guys. Love to see it. I know it's only going to get bigger and better. And I'm sure the walk was even better. So the players probably really enjoyed that. Today, heard a lot of, you know, music was over there. I guess they're providing the music a little bit.
They do have some music over there, but my boys brought a DJ, so they had their own speaker systems.
I thought that sounded like DJ-driven music.
Yeah, they had their own. They had their own guy come up with them.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. Sooners win it 28-11. Moving on to Tulsa next week. A lot of great stuff. A lot of stuff probably. For us to rewatch tomorrow. So we're looking forward to catching up on all the things we missed out on as well. And we'll see you guys back here after the Tulsa game next week on the Eskridge Lexus Post Game Podcast.